Mr. Olive. Dr. Harris.
Yes.
Okay. We are in Memches Mem Aleph, fifth line from the top. We had the Machloikas Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish in two ways. And the Machloikas is the same Machloikas as Kinyan Peres, Kinyan Agufernat. One is when Yoivu is not Nayig, right, and you bought the Kinyan Peres, which means you own the right in the field for the fruit. And then Rabbi Yochanan says, you bring Bikurim because it's considered yours. You can say, Min Adama Shalasatu Li Hashem. And Rish Lakish says, no, it's not considered yours. And then there's a Machloikas in the time of Yoivu, right? When the guy bought a piece of land in Yoivu, it goes back after 50 years, so he only has a king in Paris. So according to Yechanan, he brings Bikurim and he reads the Parsha. And according to Rish Lakish, he's maybe Ve'ena Kaira. Now we spoke at yesterday, a Machloikas Rishainim is the maybe biblical or rabbinic, according to Rish Lakish. Because he can't say an Adama Shinasatali, so how can he bring the Bikurim? It's not his land. So the Rashbam and Baba Basra, and we're going to have a Rashi here that seems to say the same thing, says that it's considered Artzacha on the Pasuk Asher Tavi Me Artzacha, but you can't say an Adama Shinasatali Hashem, because it's not like Hashem gave it to you directly, as opposed, because you don't own the whole thing. Artzacha is good enough, and Taisa says he doesn't see the difference. If it's Artzacha, it's an Adama Shenasatul Hashem. And if it's not Adama Shenasatul Hashem, it's not Artzacha. So therefore, Taisa says, according to Shlokish, it's only Midrabanon. You only bring Bikur Midrabanon, not Midaraisa. Okay, now the question is, why did they have to argue twice? Amaroim just don't repeat themselves. If they argued in a case, and you know the halacha, Machloikas is king in Paris, you can make the application yourself. If they argue twice, must mean that you wouldn't have figured out A from B. That because if you could, they should have argued in one case, and we would have applied it to the other case. The fact that they argued in two cases means each case comes with a difference. Therefore, they have to tell you we're consistent even though there's a difference. Utricha. Dime Bahi. Bahi kamer Rish Lakish, the Chichonokas had died to the Perikonokas. If we would have the Machloikas in case number one, which is when Yaiva was not Nayig, and the guy buys just the Kinyan Paris, so he knows I'm buying just the Kinyan Paris, right? I know I don't own the land, I just own the right to the land, to use the land. Avo Bahach, but by Yaiva, I died to the Gufa Kanachas. When you buy land in Yaiva, you're buying land. You're not thinking I only get the use of the land, you're thinking I bought the land. In actuality, it ends up being you only bought the use. But that's not in your mind. In your mind, you went to buy the land. Maybe there, the Kinyan Paris is a stronger Kinyan Paris.
No, Yoga, why would it be strong in your mind?
Because when a person buys land 20 years before Yoivu, ask him, what did you buy? He said, I bought a land for 20 years. He won't say, I bought the use of the land.
And then there's no Yoivu?
Well, there's no Yoivu. It depends what he buys. Then he can buy the whole thing, or he can only buy the king in Paris. Again, when you have access to buying the guf, and you only buy the Paris,
it's clear.
Then it's clear. When you don't have access to buy the guf, and you buy the land, in actuality, you didn't get any more. But in your mind, you bought the land. It's a different approach. And therefore, it might be more of a kinyan in the land. That's why it has to have the argument by Yaivu. If you have a time to do with Zamar Rabbi Yechanan, Rabbi Yechanan would only say by Yaivu. I would say Bahav Kamar Rabbi Yechanan, Abba Bahav, and Rabbi Yechanan Rish Lakish. Tzvicha, that's why I need both cases. Rashi, a die to the Perinachas, but Lava die to the Mikna, Arafil Shachas. He has no Havamina that he's buying the land. He could have, right, he went over and he bought the Kenyan Paris. He could have bought the Kenyan Akof, and he didn't. Mashenki by Yoivu, he thinks he bought. The approach is a different approach. In actuality, it's the same. But you could have thought there's a difference. That's why they argue in both cases. Dr. Haley, Gemara by Tashima. We're going to try to prove the Shiloh. Hakoi Nihilo Vikakoi, maybe Vikaira. If somebody buys a tree and its land, right? Let me try to explain. And to give an introduction, I hope I'll be clear. When a person buys an Eretz Yisrael, And forget about Yehovah for a second. Two trees. One tree. I buy the tree. The Gemara Baba Basra says, don't have a right. Tree dries out. Can somebody, everybody mute themselves, please. I don't have a right to replant another tree. I don't own the land. I own the tree. As soon as the tree dies, I'm out of here. I don't own any land automatically. The Mishnah Baba Basra says, if I buy three trees, you automatically own the land between the three trees. That's what the Mishnah says. Buy two trees, Tamachloikas Tanoim. The mayor says, you buy two trees, you own the land in between the two trees. And Rabbi Bona say, two trees is like one tree. That's the Tamachloikas. So one, everybody agrees, you buy a tree, you only own the tree. Meaning, as soon as that tree dies, you're out of here. And it seems like certain trees die pretty quickly. I mean, date trees die pretty quickly, like 10 years, and then they're gone. Oh, and if you own three trees, you own the land in between. If you own two trees, it's a machlokes tanoim. Now, the Mishnah, we're understanding that this is talking about during the time of Yehovah. And it says if you bought the tree and the land, meaning you specified, I'm not just buying the tree, I am buying the tree and the land. That means you have a right to replant the tree. So you bring fruit and you breed Bikurim. That's what the Mishnah says. Hakai ne'ilon v'kakai, mevi v'kaira. What do you mean? In 20 years from now, you're out of here. It's Yevul. Isn't this a riot of Kinyan Paris? Is Kinyan Agov Dami? L'chaira, so what if you bought the land? You don't own the land permanently. You only have a Kinyan Paris. So why did it say maybe the Kaira? The Mishnah is talking about when Yaibu is not Nayak. When Yaibu is Nayak, Enochinami, you would never bring Bikurim, even if you bought the land, because the land's going back in 20 years, or in 10 years, or in 4 years, or in 49 years. Rashi.
It's not Yaibu, he's
still on the tree. You spoke out Vikarkoi. Hakaina Ilum Vikarkoi. You put into the contract that you own the land. If you wouldn't have put it into the contract, then you only own the tree. No, it's one tree. It's the land under the tree.
So
Machlokes is Tanoim, whether you get the land in between and the land under the tree. Again, the Machlokes is, do you have any right more than the tree? If it dies, dries out, can you replant the tree in the same place?
The exact same place.
Right. Now, the Rishonim speak out something here. We try to do this as best as I can. The Chayre, this is a Kash on Rabbi Yechonim. Because it says you buy a tree and its land, you bring Bikurim. What if you just bought the tree? You would not read Parshas Bikurim. Why? You have Kenyan Paris. Meaning, why is this a Kash on Rabbi Yechonim? The Gemara asked it in Rav Shlokas. Maybe you buy the tree and the land. You read. The Gemara's Kasha says Yaibol. And for the Gemara, no Yaibol. Fine. So let's learn the Mishnah. If you buy a tree in its land, you may be the Kaira. According to Rabbi Yechonon, it's even during Yaibol. According to Shlokas, it's only not Yaibol. What if you didn't buy the land? You just bought the tree. Clear in the Mishnah that you would not read. It's only because you bought the land along with it. What do you mean? You still have the Kenyan Paris? So the Rishonim got an interesting concept. When do I have Kenyan Paris? If I own the land for the fruit. But if I only buy a tree, and I have no ownership in the land under it at all, even Rabbi Yechonon holds, I can't read. If I would own the land for fruit, that's a Kenyan Paris in the land. So Rabbi Yechonon, you can read Parshas Bikurim. But here, it's only a Kenyan in the tree. The rye is once the tree dries out, I'm out of here. I don't have anything in the land. Not even a Kenyan Paris in the land. The tree is a separate entity. Again, when I buy a Kenyan Paris, that means for the next 10 years, I have a right to get all the fruit of this land. That means I own the land for the fruit. That's what Kenyan Paris means. That means I harvested this year, I plant it next year, and I get the fruit again. Next year, I plant it the third year, and I get the fruit the third year. For 10 years, I have a right in the land for the fruit. This guy has no right in the land for anything. He has a right for a tree. In the tree. The tree withers, he's out. So even Reb Yochanan would agree that's not a Kenyan Paris. But if you buy the tree and the land, so according to Reb Yochanan, the time of Yovel, that's a Kenyan Paris. And the Rosh Lakish's answer is, talking about when there's no Yovel. Talk to Gemara about it. Tashema. Hakayin Nishnei Ilonis, B'toyach Sedeyu, Shachaveroi, maybe B'ein HaKaira. This is going like the Tanit that says, if you buy two trees, you own no land. So you bring and you don't read. Hashleisha, maybe the Kaira. But if you own three, right, you bring and read because you own the land. Again, it's Yovel. It's only a Kenyan Paris. How could you read? Shver and Rish Lakish. You're right. Talking about when Yovel was not Nayag. Rashi. The we pass in the Edom by land. You cannot say the fruit of the land that you gave me. The of the he owns the land under and in between them and the land around them for the harvester to walk around with his basket. Because the guy has to harvest the trees. So he owns the land under, between, and around.
This is three?
Three trees. Maybe the Kaira.
Two,
he only owns the trees. As soon as they wither, he's out of there. And maybe the Kaira, but I forgot the 100 B'Yavel goes back in Yavel. Yeah, but this Gemara is going according to the Mount Zabin, it says two is not. Right? I mentioned that it's a Machloikis because it is. But we paskin to is not. That's what the Gemara is operating with here. Okay. Now here comes a big chiddush. Zok to Gemara. The hashta damar Rav Chisda. Machloikas v'yayvul sheni. I'm going to learn it like Rashi, but I will admit that the Rishayim have a, at least some Rishayim have a problem with Rashi. I will mention them as well. The hashta damar Rav Chisda. Machloikas v'yayvul sheni. Avu b'yayim rishon divrei akol maybe v'kaira. Once Yovel was established that it works, then when people sold land, they only sold the Kenyan Paris. But before the first Yovel ever happened, people were not sure if this Yovel concept is going to work. See, here I am. I just moved into Eretz Yisrael. It's the conquest of Eretz Yisrael. Yeshua gave me a piece of land, and my neighbor wants to buy it. Now, when I sell it to him, in the back of my mind, I say, I don't know if this Yovel thing is going to work or not. It might be that Yovel comes and nobody gives land back. I'm not sure that the system is going to work. I'm aware there's halacha of the Torah, but it's not proven yet. It hasn't worked yet. So when you sell the land during that first time, in your mind, you might be selling the whole thing. Then everybody agrees that it was a Kenyan Aguf. Even though it went back at the end of 50 years, that's because the Torah said it goes back. But in my mind, I sold the land not knowing for sure I'm going to get it back, meaning willing to sell the whole thing, willing to take the gamble that this might be a permanent sale. I don't know if the system's going to work. There's a halacha of the Torah, but who says that people are going to adhere to it? So when I sell my land, I'm taking my chance, and I mean to sell it completely, if that's what's going to happen. Then everybody agrees that Kenyan Paris is Kenyan Aguf. Then everybody agrees that maybe the Kaira, because it wasn't only a Kenyan Paris. Because the guy that sold it and the guy that bought it weren't thinking only fruit necessarily. They had a Havamina that this is going to be a permanent sale. Once Yovel was established that the system works, so from then on, sales took on a different picture. It was no longer a Kenyan Aguf, the Kenyan Paris. So according to Reb Chisda, all those Mishnahs that say maybe the Kaira, it's only a Kenyan Paris, that's the first time Yovel, that's before the first Yovel. At that point, it was a stronger Kenyan Paris. So when the Mishnah says if you buy land that is carcass, maybe the Kaira, that might be talking about the first Yovel. Might be talking about the first years in Eretz Yisrael. But they don't know Bisman of that. Would that be true? Even Bisman Shayyavu Layak. That's what the Gemara wants to answer. Let me just read the Gemara. Let me read the Gemara, the Haley Gemara. First, no, I think the Gemara gets to say its point first. The Hashtag. The Amr of Chizda. I know Kayan goes first, but I'll begin. The Hashtag. The Amr of Chizda, Machlaikas Beyavu Shani. I will be able to reach the Rechot, maybe the Kaira. That Kati Lo Samach Datayu, they're still not relying on Yavu. They don't know if the system works. Like Asha, I'll be able to reach it. All those Mishnahs that said that seemingly Kenyan Paris makes you read. Right, we answered Bizman Shayna Yavu Naig. I have a different Teretz now. It could be in the time of Yavu, but it was the first Yavu. I'll be Yavu Shayna. Rashi? Talk to Rashi. Machloikas or Shlakas Rabbi Yechmi Yavu Shayna Shemonu Yisrael that they counted. Shkarhurgalu Lahagzer Kakos, Bahu Kamar Rishlakas Maybe Vena Kaira. The Samcha died to the Meicher, the Vadi Hadjalei. He relies on the fact that he's for sure going to get it back. With Ebatuach Shankar Serena. And he's completely confident. Right. B'yayvur Rishon, Kol Hani Masnais to B'yayvur Rishon. Now, the problem with this shot is, why would the Mishnah be telling you halacha that doesn't apply anymore? It applied for 49 years. Way back when, in the first Chalukah Meretz Yisrael, these Mishnahs in Baba Basra were not written to tell me halacha that happened 784 years ago.
Right.
And according to the way Rashi learns, these halachas and misafs of Baba Basra are referring to what was once upon a time 784 years ago. But Bizman is that's not true. So why would the Mishnah write it? Not a geya. It's a one-time in history thing. And that history's gone. By the time Mishnah came around, even if you say it was written in Bayi Sheni, not in the Geya. It was the Geya one time.
Since when is it every Mishnah's the Geya?
You would think that the Mishnah writes Halacha, the Mishnah's writing Halacha Lamaisa, in the time of the Mishnayas, in the time of the Beit HaMikdash. To write a Halacha that was the Geya 784 years ago is a Kiddush. But that's how Rashi learns.
Rabbi.
The Meiri learns a different shot. The Meiri learns Yovel Rishon means everybody's first Yovel. Every person, when they sell land, until it worked for them, doesn't have confidence in the system. Yes, it worked for my neighbor, it worked for my father, it worked for my grandfather. I have to see it work for me. Until it works one time for the person himself, he doesn't have complete confidence in the system.
But did it work for his father?
His father sold it and got it back.
Right.
But now he's selling it.
Therefore?
He's not confident in the system.
Why not?
Again, because it's my first Yovel, and I'm afraid the guy won't give it back to me. Listen, it's a gamble. I'm relying on Yovel. I'm relying on people sticking to the Torah. There's a certain feeling of unease that some of you learn the first time I do it.
But just in general.
I just have to list, yes.
But just in general, if a person has any of the doubt that it's going to work or not, he's so hadaite that it will work. He doesn't want to give it up. Why would a person want to give it up?
I need money. I have to sell my field. Again, people didn't sell fields for club. It wasn't in those days. You held on to your field desperately. People that sold their field
but
were in
it. There's a 1% chance that I'm going to get it back. I want that. I'm hoping for that. This is
again,
99% chance
again,
of getting it back.
My question is, again, let's learn Rashi's shot.
Yeah, Rashi's
shot. The first time before you ever worked,
right?
You knew that it might not work. And
no,
therefore,
no.
Okay, you want to argue in the Gemara, you can argue in the Gemara. I don't argue with Gemaras. You want to argue with the Gemara, you can argue with the Gemara. The Gemara is saying there's a difference between Yovel Rishon and Yovel Sheni. Our job is to figure it out, not to question it.
The Torah says it won't apply.
People won't keep it. It's a very hard thing to keep.
Bezdin won't keep it.
It's a very hard thing to keep.
Part of the life,
okay, we're in a religious mode today. I'm happy. I'm happy we're religious today. What can I tell you?
I'm going to have for sure wanting to come back.
Well, you're a guy and you're different. No, we can see Kahanim have different halachas. Totally. We'll see it later on. We'll see it in a minute. Yes?
He puts himself in line. He bases that on the price of how many more years for yoga.
Correct.
So what they did was they sold it for a full price, and it was a possibility that he might get back and have
the first yovel. No, they wouldn't get money anything back. But again, I'm explaining how Rashi learns. The first time you didn't win Eretz Yisrael, when Yovel had never been tested, and you sold your field in the neighbor, into your neighbor, in your mind, you realized that there's a possibility that you're never going to see this.
You sold it for full price.
It depends what he's willing to pay for it. You sold it because you're desperate for cash. You're going to sell it for whatever the market's going to pay for it. You don't dictate price. Usually, sellers had people that wanted to buy it. They bought it for whatever the market said it's worth. In your mind, you knew you were gambling that whatever price you're getting, this might be goodbye, Charlie.
They knew that there might be a Yovel.
They knew there was a Yovel coming.
They were done last year 1/50th of the price.
Again.
I know you said it's desperate.
But when you go to your neighbor, the neighbor comes and wants to buy it. Right? You know in 20 years it's Yovel. He's not going to pay for X more than X amount. You can either sell to him or not sell to him. It's your decision.
There were people that were buying it.
I don't know if it ever happened. We're talking about halacha if it happened. Okay. We're not saying a story.
And the second thing is, where does the property go back to? Whoever had it 50 years ago? Or it goes back to the time of it's lost to history? Who owns which land?
I don't know which land I own.
So what would happen if it all happened now?
Honestly? Whoever, when the Rebbeinu comes and makes Yovel again, we'll find out. Because Eretz Yisrael is going to be re-split. Nothing in Yecheskel says, I think it's in Yecheskel, that the Eretz Yisrael is going to be re-split. And you're going to get your piece of land in Eretz Yisrael, and that will be yours permanently.
So, at that time when they made the Yovel, the first Yovel, everybody knew still who their family was.
They just came into Eretz Yisrael!
700, 800 years ago. That's
mission. Yes, right.
Okay.
And by the way, they knew for a long period of time. Because when Yovel worked, that means everything always reverted back every 50 years. So they always knew. You always knew.
But a loch is 70 years or so.
Not a question about loch. Every.
The first thing that they ever forgot was whether you do Smith. But after 70 years, they forgot what the law was. After 6 months, they forgot what the law was.
Again, both Shatim have difficulty, but the Gemara makes a difference. According to the Rabiri, at least it answers why the Mishnah would be discussing it, because it's practically applicable. Every person by their first Yovel has a pit in his stomach of what's going to work or not. Your question is, if it worked for everybody else till now, why do you think it won't work for you? I got the question. According to Rashi, the problem is, why would the Mishnah write something that applied one time in history so many years ago before? This is writing out halacha if it's a practical applicable, and it's not. But Rashi's Rashi, Demiri's Demiri. Those are two pshatim in the Gemara. But the Gemara says it. You can't argue with the Gemara. The Gemara says it.
Right, you have to say some pshat.
Exactly. That's what I'm trying to say. Our job is not to argue on the Gemara. Our job is to try to understand the Gemara.
Understand it.
Right. So I tried to explain to Shasta, but I can do more. Nothing in my mind. Let me get Tanoi. Let us say King in Paris and King in Agos is in my colleague's Tanoi. Okay, so let me introduce this next Brysa that will take us down the Yama. if Reuven, this is very important to see the difference. Reuven owns a field. Again, we don't have Reuven in this year. Somebody owns a field.
Where is
he? He left.
No,
some, he was here.
He was here?
Yeah.
Sure. What?
Someone owns.
He was here.
Yes.
So,
he even said a question.
Yes,
someone owns a field. He sold it during the time of Yaivu. The guy who bought it was Magdish. Donated the field to Hegdish.
Shows.
Again, without being interruptible, try one more time. Somebody owns a field, sold it. The buyer donated it to Hegdish. When Yovel comes, it goes back to the original owner. Because the guy who donated it to Hegdish can't donate more than he owns. He only owns it to Yovel. So his donation is only to Yovel. That's the halacha. That in halacha is called Tzdei Mikna, a field you bought that you donate to Hegdish. You can only donate what you own. You only own it to Yovel. So automatically, when Yovel comes, it reverts back to the original owner. And nobody has to pay Hegdish a penny for it. Because it never belonged to Hegdish more than it belonged to the second buyer, to the first buyer. However, and here comes the big halacha. There's halacha called Tzdei Achuza. If somebody donates to Hegdish his field that he owns, that he inherited from his father, who inherited from his father, all the way back to Yeshua ben Nun, And he doesn't buy it back. And someone else buys it to Hegdish. Hegdish is no use of a field. They sell it. They go back to the guy who donated it and said, do you want to buy your field back? Or not? He gets first rights. He doesn't want to buy it back. Somebody else buys it back. At Yovel, it goes to Kehanim permanently. And the first owner never gets it back. Again, special halacha by Magdish Dei Achuza, a land that you inherited that belonged to your family all the way back to Yeshua ben Nun. And a guy donated his land to Hegdish, a piece of land to Hegdish. Hegdish has no use for land. What they do is they come to the guy and say, sir, do you want to buy your land back? We want money. No. First, again, they didn't sell it.
What did they do with it?
Oh, 1 second. First they go to the person, and they say, do you want to buy back? He gets... Right. Let me finish. So they go back to the guy who donated it. Shimon donated his land to Hegdish. His Dei Achuza. Hegdish goes to Shimon. Says, Shimon, do you want to buy your land back? Give us money. Sometimes people donated land and then they bought it back from Hegdish. Hegdish gives them that option. First buyer. If he says no, Hegdish puts it out in the market. Levi comes along and buys it. At Yovel, it doesn't go back to Shimon. It goes to the Kahanim. And the Kahanim keep it permanently. This becomes Kahanim's land. Every Yovel, all the fields donated, the people who owned them by inheritance, straight down, and who didn't redeem their own fields, and Hegdish sold it to somebody else, at Yovel, it becomes Kahanim. It belongs to them permanently. Which Kahanim? From Konal Sehem. The Kahanim who serve that mishmar of Yom Kippur of Yovel. Whoever is on that week of Yom Kippur of Yovel gets 50 years worth of Tzdei Achuza. There might be nothing. There might be no Tzdei Achuza. Maybe nobody donated the land to Hegdish. Maybe the guy who donated it bought it back. But
I'm fighting about who gets that.
What?
I'm fighting about
no, it's not. That mishmar splits it up.
Who's going to get that mishmar?
Oh.
1 minute. They had a rotation. The Mishmaris worked by rotation. Every Mishmar got a week. Right. the lucky mishmer, there's not luck in the Torah, the fortunate mishmer, whose job was to be on the week of Yom Kippur, of Yovel.
Who decided the order of that?
That was decided when they made the mishmaris in the time of David and Shlomo. They made 24 mishmaris, and it went in 24 consecutive weeks. And that continued for hundreds of years. And you're right, they put it into place, and the first Yovel, the one who served that mishmar, got all the land. Now, the question I don't know the answer to is, before they built the Beis HaMikdash, but they didn't have the 24 mishmaris operating like that.
Who got it?
Who got it? Maybe in Mishkan Shilai, there was also mishmaris. That was in the days of Mishkan Shilai, there were only 16 mishmaris. They expanded from 16 to 24 in the days of David and Shlomo.
It went back to Shimon.
No, it never went back to Shimon. The Torah says it doesn't go back to Shimon, it says it goes to the Kahanim.
Just a general report, when the verbal started this originally, someone's boxed a shit. That guy was boxed a shit, so after Yovel comes and goes back, they still got it there, that's even boxed it behind.
Special I welcome to Akusa.
Oh, no, so
Behemoth,
they sold. No, Behemoth,
only De Akusa.
Hey, that
animals don't go back in
Yovel. That land, that Hektish can't, can you only use it up to a certain time? Well, it's about the land, right?
So again.
They have land, okay? So the Hektish can only use the land.
Hektish doesn't use the land.
Okay,
Hektish sells land. That's all they do.
Land, tell
the
people that buy it, they'll tell you, you're
only
buying it
then. Well, that's not welcome, Yovel. That's not welcome, Yovel. You learn in Chumash.
No, you have to tell. Okay, if you have to tell.
Kahanim, you know, Kahanim, get it. It's all Kahanim, you know.
Covet to be worst thing I never understood.
Today, we're in a very religious mode today. We're so religious today that we don't even want covet.
That being religious?
We're not wanting covet? Absolutely. It's called the Gemedius. No, of course not. It's only for him.
No.
Of course it's not religious. The Torah gave it to him when he's eating. The Torah said he gets truma. He said, I don't want cover. Don't give me truma. It's one of the matnas kahuna. Not really. For him, it's religious. He's in an anti. Today, he's in a high madrega.
Yeah, they see my name
the first time. I shake. I told you he's in a religious mode today. How about if they give you the Ali of Kayan? You also shake every time they call you.
I don't need it. It's not. It's embarrassing. I remember seeing the first Hakafa. They called my name.
What?
And tell the Dibor.
You're Kayan. The Gidashtai.
I
know. Okay. So now the Shaila is as follows. There are going to be two cases here. And I'm going to try to explain this to them again, try the best of my ability. A guy bought a field from his father. His father died. Right. And then he was Magdishin. So he bought it. At that point, he only had King in Paris. But his father's field, his father was still alive. Because of Yovel. Yovel was going to take it back. In the days of Yovel, a guy was Magdish, bought a field from his dad. Dad died, and then he donated it to Hegdish. Is that donating a bought field, or is that donating a owned field? He bought it, but then he inherited it. He bought it, had a Kenyan Paris. Then he inherited it. And then he donated it to Hagdish. Because a bought field comes back in Yovel. An inherited field goes to the Kahanim in Yovel. Remember I said case number one. Reuven, Shimon buys a field. Donates it to Hegdish. Yovel comes and goes back to the original owner. Doesn't go to Kahanim. Shimon never owned it, really. He only owned the right to Yovel. This case. I'm talking about another case.
You said that Shimon owned land.
That's if he was the stay achuza. That's if he inherited that land. What if Shimon acquired a land by buying it from Levi? And then he donated it to Hegdish. Levi gets it back. There's a difference between stay mikna and stay achuza. Fields that I bought and fields that I inherited. There's going to be two cases, similar but very different. Case number two, which I'm going to say first, is somebody bought a field from his father while his father was still alive. That was his day mikna. Father died. Then he donated it to Hegdish. Is that his day mikna, because that's how he acquired it? Or is that his day achuza? That's one case. Second case. Somebody bought a field from his father and donated it to Hegdish. And then his father died. So when he donated it to Hegdish, it was not his field. He had bought it from his father. It was a stay mikna. While Hegdish had it, it turned into a stay achuza. He now owns it. He inherited it from his father. Again, as a Zdei Mikna, it only goes to Yovel.
He said, they don't keep, they sell it right away.
Again, if it's a Zdei Mikna, Hegdish can sell it no matter what they want to do. It goes back to the original owner. This halacha that it goes to Kahanim is only by a Zdei Achuza, not by a Zdei Mikna. What if he was magdish it as a Zdei Mikna? While during the 20 years to Yovel, his father passed on and he inherited the land. Is that a Zdei Achuza or is it a Zdei Mikna? So we have two cases. One is, he bought it from his father. His father passed on, then he was magdish. And one is, he bought it from his father, was magdish, then his father passed on. Let's read the Gemara. Zog the Gemara, name it Ketanoi. Minayim. This is the first Mandiyama. The Lekeach Sodom Yavis. Guy bought a field from his father. Big Disha. And he donated it to Hegdish. And then his father passed on. How do I know that we still treat it like a Zdei Achuza? And if he didn't buy it back, he loses it permanently. Goes to Kahanim. That's a Chiddush. He donated it as a Zdei Mikna. When Hegdish received it, they only received it temporarily. Because it belonged to Dad. But then Dad died. So now it belongs to the son who had donated it to Hegdish. Zok the Braisa, we still treat it like a Zdei Achuza. Meaning, if he didn't redeem it, goes back to Kahanim Yovel. Talmud Leimar, we learn it from the Pasuk. Im Zdei Miknosa Ashaloyim Zdei Achuzasai. Now this is really superfluous. If the field he bought, which is not Achuza, well, if he bought it, it's obviously not Achuza. What is the Pasuk say? if he donated the field he bought, which is not his Zeyakuza. Well, if he bought it, it's not Zeyakuza. Those words are superfluous. To tell me, Sadishayna really is Zeyakuza. The only time Zeymikna comes back automatically to the original owner is if it's not supposed to, never turns into a Zeyakuza. This can turn into a Zeyakuza. As soon as the father dies, the son would inherit it. So even though at the time of Hegdish it was not a Zeyakuza, but the Torah said, Ashaloyim is Zeyakuza, that means it never turned into a Zeyakuza. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. So according to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, Reuven, a guy, bought a field from his dad, donated it to Hegdish, then his dad died. That field is considered a Zeyakuza, even though at the time of Hegdish it was a Zeymikna. Which means at the time of Hegdish, he donated it temporarily. Because at that point, he wasn't the owner. But now he became the owner of Zeyakuza. Rashi. Zogt Rashi. Kitanoi, Kinyan Peres, Kinyan Agub Dami Eloi. Zeyakuza. Now Rashi tells you the differences in Halacha. In Megdisha, V'loigoy L'kayna Mayayvo. If he was Magdish and he didn't redeem it before Yayvo. U'machwa Gizber L'achar. And the Gizber sold it to somebody else. Ain't in a yellow side. It never comes out again. And when the one who bought it from the Gizber, Yaivu comes and leaves him, it goes to the Kahanim. Shinemar, it's a very shapatzik. The Mayigal is Asada, Vaya Asada, Betsaysa, Yaivu, goes to the Kahanim. That's by his Deachuza, who's De Mikna, Shigdishim Loigala, but he donated it to Hegdish and he didn't redeem it to Makra Gizber. There it goes back to the original owner, Shemachrula Magdish, that sold it to the guy who donated it. Shinemar, Mishnas HaYoivu, Yashav HaSad, Lashar Kanomi, Taitim Afer Shabbatik. You buy a land, you donate it to Hegdish, it goes back to the guy you bought it from. You have no right to give it to Hegdish permanently. Now, we go into the case of the Brais. Minayivu, Mekayach Sadam Yabiv, Vigdisha B'chayavim, and he donated it while his dad was alive. But either be yod this day miknum, when it was still his day miknum. V'yachakach, meis aviv v'nasas le'achuzah. At that point it becomes his achuzah. V'nai shetei lefonim k'dei achuzah m'loigala. He doesn't redeem it. U'makar ha'gizbah sh'yaitse v'kahanim le'ayvu. How do I know this goes to the kahanim? Ha'shaloyim is de'achuzah se'kroy yisevehi. That's an extra busing. If it says day miknosai, it's obviously not de'achuzah. Tell me, they make this only a field that never is going to turn into a Zeyakuza. Yatsa Sazu, period. Dr. Rashi, even in the case when he donated before his father died, it turns into a Zeyakuza. Koshkein, Meis Avivakach Hegdisha. For sure, if his father died first, and then he donated it to Hegdish, the Meshach Hegdish Kvaroi Zeyakuza. Even if at the time he donated it to Zey Mikna, it turns into a Zeyakuza, for sure, if he donated it when he already inherited it. That's the first Maniyama. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. They were Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. The Meir Eimer. He said the Pasuk is not referring to that case. It's only referring to the case when it's the father died first. Minayin l'keach sadam aviv umeis aviv. His father passed on. V'yachakach hegdisha. Minayin shetei lefonim k'dei achuzah. Talmud Loibart, he learns this from the Pasuk. Mizdei muknosah shaloi mizdei achuzasai. He bought it, and then it became achuzah, and then he donated it. Sadam shein esei achuzah. A field that's not a zei achuzah at the time of donation. Yotza zezu, she's zei achuzah. If it's according to a mayor, we only see one case. According to Yudin Reb Shimon, we see a bigger chiddush, and for sure a mayor's case. Now the question is, why does a mayor need a pasuk for one? And Reb Yudin Reb Shimon say, for that we don't need a pasuk. We need a pasuk for the bigger case. That means obviously they know the first case without a pasuk. The rule of pasukim are, you use it for your smallest chiddush. If Reb Yehuda and Reb Shimon are using it for a bigger chiddush, that means the smaller chiddush didn't need the pasuk. And what? And Reb Meir needs the pasuk for the smaller chiddush. That's going to be the Gemara's discussion. Let's catch up with Rashi. Look, Rashi, Reb Meir, Eimer, Zuein esteachuza. That's not considered esteachuza. The chizaris loy machmas avim shemachor loy would come back to him, because at the time he was magdish, it was his day mikta. Krok yasa, the mates of evakachadishasa. Pasuk is coming when he bought it, then turned into esteachuza, and then he was magdish. Now Rav Yudin of Shimon say, why do I need a pasuk for that? He donated it as esteachuza. Remeir says, I do need a pasuk for that. What happened? What are they arguing about?
It was sold one time.
Sold to the son.
One time.
I know you mean by one time.
In other words, it was sold.
Everything
and,
sold
and,
is sold
one time. It was sold, but now he collects the contract on it, like his father died.
Right.
And therefore he owns the land again.
Correct. He owned
the land. So Remeir needs.
I don't know what you mean, owns the land again. He bought the land from his father. He bought the land from his father.
Yes. So. But it's not a family estate anymore. It's a his estate. But when he inherited the contract from his father, he already bought the land. It became back into the family.
Again, his father owned the land. I don't know family. His father owned, I don't know family. His father owned land. What do you have that family?
Because that's
Be'achuzah. Be'achuzah means it's his father's land.
Generation.
I don't care where he got it. It's his father's inherited land. I want to leave family out. Let's not mention, because family is mashman, is a bunch of owners. There's one owner.
But he acquired it through Yerusha.
Right, that's all I want to know. I don't care, I don't want to hear the word family. Family indicates there's more than one owner. There's no more than one owner.
Okay, so he got through Yerusha, the father got through Yerusha, the son bought it from the father.
Yes.
And then it when the father died, it reverted back.
What do you mean reverted? It now it became his Deachuzah.
Right.
It's changed. Reverted means it goes back. Not back. It became his Deachuzah.
Okay. And
it's a case of Remeir.
So what was the case of Rabbi Yehuda and
that he was Magdishit before his father died. When he donated it to Hegdish, it was his day Mikna. Remeir's case is his father died first, and then he was Magdishit. Now, Remeir needs a pasuk for that case, and Rabbi Yehuda and Rav Shimon say that case doesn't need a pasuk. Why? That's our question. So the Gemara wants to explain it, and I'll speak it out outside. The Gemara wants to say as follows. Remeir holds, when you buy a land, you have the kinyan peiros, so you own it already. So when the father dies, you really don't get anything much. Because you really owned it before. Kenyan Peres is the Kenyan Agos. Ruben, a guy bought a field from his dad. I'm sorry, I knocked it down.
All by itself.
Ruben bought a field from his dad. He owned the Kenyan Peres. Before anybody donated to Agnes, guy bought a field from his dad. He owns the Kenyan Peres. Now his father died. He gets the Kenyan Agof. But he had the main Kenyan anyway. What he got was superfluous. Extra. Not main. The main Kenyan is his already. So who says that getting that extra Kenyan turns it into Zdei Achuzah? The bottom line, his acquisition was a Zdei Mikna. He got real ownership as a Zdei Mikna. Because Kenyan pairs the Kenyan Agof. That's where Remeir holds. Therefore, he needs a pasuk to say that even though it was already a Kenyan Peres, still it's considered a Zdei Achuzah because he got that anyway. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon hold Kenyan Peres is not a Kenyan Agof. Therefore, when Reuben's father died, that's when it became Reuben's Kenyan. That's when he got the main Kenyan. So, of course, it's a Zdei Achuzah. I don't need a pasuk for that. It wasn't his before completely. To Remeir was mostly his to begin with. We'll talk about this more tomorrow. Everybody check.